the time zone.
Oh.
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery.
We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Damas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Chilly, but hey,
and that was our special guest right there at the end. Did you hear that? The website is freethegrapes.org. That's pretty awesome. I didn't remember he was on the end tail of that. So that's pretty cool.
It is. I forgot about that. We've had some great guests over the years, and you know, mm-hmm. it's always fun listening to that opening, and it brings back a lot of memories of the people we've had on here. And it brings back a memory of the one we're going to have again tonight, which is really
nice. Right.
That's a really cool thing. So,
and that was the short version. That was the 1 minute, 2 minute version. The other one's five something. So yeah,
that's
big difference. We'll play the short version.
A lot of people been on. It's always cool. I like. We're going to play the long version next week because I like to hear about all the people. Reminds me of
A lot of them.
Been on.
The last one on there, I heard. Heard him say the website, and I go, oh, that's our guest tonight, too. So that was pretty cool. Last time he was on was in 2011, so it's been a while. It's time to, time to catch up, see what's going on. So it'd be great to have him next couple of minutes or so.
Yeah, we're going to get Jeremy Benson from freethegrapes.org, if you all didn't listen to the opening there, if you had to run to potty or something. And so we got...
Now that you mention it...
That's where you disappear to during your show.
We'll be right back. What color does the green room icon turn when you click on it? That's right. Never mind. It turns yellow. But
yellow. Yeah.
A little shot box.
We're going to have Jeremy Benson from freethegrapes.org catch us up on what's happening in it. Maybe we can find out, too, if there's anything happening with the old... Oh, Nemesis 1161. It died last time. Let's see if they're talking about a new one or something. Did Mike leave me? Yeah, Mike left me. Mike went to call Jeremy, so he will be back in a little bit with Jeremy. Hopefully, freethegrapes.org. You can tune in on that. www.freethegrapes.org is where we're going tonight. We're going to be talking to Jeremy. He's from president, I believe, of president CEO of freethegrapes.org. He will be telling us about what's going on in the country and what's been happening since the last time we saw him about shipping and all the stuff that's happened. A lot of stuff's been happening. If you don't subscribe to freethegrapes.org, you really should. It's pops up on my Facebook all the time. And there's a lot of information there, a lot of stuff that comes in on that is, just let you know what's going on in shipping around the country. And if it happens to affect your state, you need to know that anyway, because they tell you, contact your congressman, contact your representatives, contact people out there who are making these laws that stop you from shipping. They're making the ones that stop you from doing stuff. So if you subscribe to the freethegrapes.org, it's going to give you an opportunity to keep up with it and find out what's going on and help your state if something happens, because they will keep you informed on all that stuff. We've got Germany sitting in the background here. Let's bring Jeremy on and talk with him again after a year and a half. Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to All About Wine.
Hi. Thanks very much for having me back on, Ron.
No, it's great. I'm glad you were able to come back with us here. I was just telling people out there that if they don't subscribe to the site, they really need to, because I get Facebook updates all the time. And some of these people in some of these states that are still battling some of these antiquated laws, you keep them informed so they can contact their congressman and all. So they need to really sign up and keep up to date on what's going on. It's not going to happen with congressmen and representatives themselves. They need the people to tell them what to do. So,
yeah, it's really helpful, and it's pretty easy for wine lovers across the U.S. to either sign up for our email list and or to just like us on Facebook, and we keep them up to date through both of those channels.
And I get it from both, and it's great on both of them, too. You know, you can always find out exactly what's going on. And they do. You have a good system there, too. I mean, it keeps right on top of it, very up to date. So,
good,
Jeremy,
thanks.
What's been happening in wine? Last time we talked to you was way back in June 30th, 2011. And since then, I am sure in the last almost 2 years now, over a year and a half, quite a bit has been going on in freeing the grapes in this country. What's going on now?
Yeah, well, the big picture is that the number of states that have some provision that allows wineries to ship to consumers has gone from, in the last 15 years or so, has gone from 17 states now to 39 states plus
wow.
The District of Columbia. So the number of states, the number of wine lovers out there that can receive shipments from wineries that are licensed to ship has increased pretty dramatically, and those 39 states represent about 89% of U.S. wine consumption.
Wow. Well,
So the numbers are moving in the right direction. That has not, of course, been without some challenges along the way. But to answer your question very directly, the one of the states that changed in 2012 is New Jersey, which opened for direct shipping in June of 2012. And it has some problems with the particular law. I won't go into the minutiae of it, but it has some problems that the industry representatives are seeking to fix in this year, in 2013.
Uh-huh. So all the ones that have switched over in the last year and a half or 2 years, are they all pretty good on the laws, or is there any glitches in it that people might run across?
Well, there are from our perspective some glitches that have required some fixes, and that's been something that is maybe less noticeable, less newsworthy, that consumers and wineries may not know a whole lot about. So there's been a lot of good work that's been done by the industry in terms of the sort of fix-it legislation that does things like just makes the compliance process more streamlined for wineries. And so that's been a big shift that the consumers may not see, but from the industry standpoint, it's a huge benefit.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be too, because as a winery myself, we run across all sorts of these little idiosyncrasies,
yeah,
if you will. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the really one of the things that's happened in the last couple years on the winery side is certainly the growth of the direct shipment market. I mean, frankly, just from looking at it from a market standpoint, you know, about 75% of the value of wines that are shipped to a consumer from a winery are from small wineries under 50,000 cases.
Right.
And that's really the majority of the 8,000 wineries out there in the U.S. are, it would certainly fit within that category of production under 50,000 cases per vintage.
And, you know, and like you said, that's most of them out there. We've talked to wineries around the country, and very few of them are big ones. The most of them are small
ones.
I was just looking at the map here
exactly
on your
right.
on, on your home page, on the Free the Grapes home page, and the map here, I'm surprised that Pennsylvania is still hanging on to their antiquated laws of the state stores and stuff. They got so many wineries there. Is there any progress happening there?
Yeah, actually, there has been. It's been slow, but there is progress going on. Specifically, there are a couple different bills that are going on. There may be actually more than I'm aware of, but there are a couple bills right now that have to do with wine direct shipping. And an important note is that these are separate from the debate in Pennsylvania over privatization. That's something quite different. But in terms of wine direct shipping, there are two different bills there. One's on the House and then one's on the Senate. They both include, and what's been the issue in Pennsylvania has been that the bills have included this year and in the past about 24% tax increase over the retail price of wine. And so, the industry reps have been working with Pennsylvania on showing that that's really not going to work at all. And so, to answer your question, there is momentum in Pennsylvania. There are a couple bills going through this year. Our hope is that the industry lobbyists are successful in showing that those tax rates just simply aren't going to work.
Yeah, 24%. That's criminal. We talked to some wineries there. A month ago, a month and a half ago. A lot of them in Pennsylvania were telling us about the laws seem to be loosening up a little bit there as far as being able to sell at fairs and stuff like that. The state stores don't have as much of a grip on some of that stuff. But then they were telling us about the state stores, basically exclude the small wineries. It seems to be killing the small wineries in the state.
Pennsylvania has always been, certainly challenging, and you can see it in, wine consumption and statistics, and that a lot of people go to states surrounding it and purchase wine and then bring it back home into Philadelphia or wherever they live. Pennsylvania has been obviously on our radar for a number of years here, and we actually have a lot of consumers in Pennsylvania that are on our list that continue to write, which is terrific. And we're encouraging actually wineries as well to contact, their email list consumers that they update occasionally with a note to visit Free the Grapes and to write their Pennsylvania legislators.
That reminded me of something, too, when you just talking about writing to it, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the program for people to write their legislature. Would it do any good for someone, say, from Missouri to write their legislatures encouraging things in the federal House and Senate to do something with the laws, for Pennsylvania or something? Or would that just be a waste?
More sense to have a Pennsylvania voter be writing to their own legislators in Pennsylvania. And I like the sentiment of your idea, but from a practical standpoint, the legislators are really going to listen to the voters that voted them in. And so that has been the guideline, really, that we've used on this. And it has worked. And I think it's easy for people to feel maybe cynical that letters may not work, but I mean, I can tell you from personal experience that they really do get read. One of the things that we do through the freethegrapes.org website is, you can personalize a sample letter that we have in that it will be, in most cases, it's actually faxed to the office of your own legislator. This takes like 2 minutes to do. But the point there is that faxes often get read more likely to be read than emails. And a lot of consumers get responses from their legislators when they send these notes in. And I know that because I get copies of them back.
Now, I do a lot of writing myself to legislatures and representatives here in Florida. And I get response all the time.
Yeah.
I I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I'm glad they do. And another thing, too, back when you had the big drive to stop 1161, H.R. 1161, you had a great site there for people to go on to and write their legislatures and stuff. And so,
yeah, we had a tremendous amount of I believe it was the previous year we had 60,000 letters sent through the website just on that federal bill alone, which is fortunately, you know, not passed along to the next Congress. So that's not a worry at this point. But one thing, if I can add in, that another important state this year, and one that I think we talked about last time, was Massachusetts.
Right.
And in Massachusetts, it has been now 3 years since the First Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed a district court ruling that said that Massachusetts direct shipment law was unconstitutional. And so it's been 3 years. 3 years ago, and there has not been a legislative solution. They've tried, but there hasn't been one. But now this year there's now a bill. In fact, it was just introduced a few weeks ago. We were just at the Boston Wine Expo talking to consumers, getting them to sign up, and we're going to be at the Wine Ride event in April in Boston again to sign up consumers and get them interested. And so Massachusetts is an important one. It's House Bill 294, and it would allow for consumers, finally, in Boston and other cities in Massachusetts to be able to purchase wine directly from wineries licensed to ship there. So we're optimistic about Massachusetts. It is the largest state for wine consumption that still bans direct shipment. And so we're encouraging consumers to go ahead and write, visit the website, visit our Facebook page, and so forth.
Am I on, or did I lose him, or am I dead, or something's going on here?
You're still on.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. All of a sudden, you just disappeared there, Jeremy. I thought something...
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah. I thought something...
I was just talking about Massachusetts and how we have a bill now. It's House Bill 294. It's been introduced. It's a very positive bill. And I was saying that we were at the Boston Wine Expo a few weeks ago. We're going to be at the Wine Riot event April 5 and 6 in Boston, talking to consumers. And we just have had a tremendous response from Massachusetts consumers just in the last two or three weeks.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, and again, I'm going to point out, freethegrapes.org, go on that. If you live in Massachusetts, click on the icon at the top of the page there. It gives you all the information, everything you need to continue this and keep this ball rolling. It's ridiculous that Massachusetts, in the position it is in the country up there next to New York and all those wine-growing regions, that it isn't more receptive to shipping. I mean, that's really odd that they're dragging their feet so much on that.
It is odd, but we also think that this is going to be the year that we'll get something through, and there seems to be quite broad-based support for it as well.
Good. I noticed you mentioned, and I noticed in emails and in Facebook, New Jersey just opened up for shipping. That took quite some time for that too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and it that has been a bit of a roller coaster over the last few years. And but the hope really is that now that there is at least a law in place, even though it's not necessarily a good one, that there are opportunities then that legislators can use to then, you know, fix that particular law. Obviously, New Jersey is a large wine market and an important one, and so we'd like to see that that legislation get fixed in 2013 as well. There's a couple other states that, if you want me to go through,
please,
them just quickly. Montana is another one that is in play right now. Montana has this odd law that requires a consumer to purchase what they call a connoisseur's license from the state that allows a winery to be able to ship into them. And in the last 6 or 7 years or so, the state has issued only 188 of these so-called connoisseur's licenses.
How much do they cost?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know how much they actually they cost, but it puts all of the burden for tax payment and so forth onto the consumer. So obviously that's not working, and there's now a bill that is in place to replace it with a bill that is much more similar to what we see in other states that works fine.
Yeah. The connoisseur license. I like it. I like the name. That's the connoisseur license.
Another one is Indiana. So there's some fix-it legislation in place or being proposed there that would try and change a couple problems, big problems with that law, which is one of them is it requires the consumer to actually physically visit the winery in order to have wine shipped to him or her afterwards. So, for example, if a consumer in Indiana went to a winery in Oregon, that they would literally have to go to that winery in Oregon in order to sign up for their wine club. So
now,
that's one of the things.
These laws, does the legislature ever think how they're going to enforce them, or do they just pass them because they just want to do it? I mean, how are they going to enforce that? I mean, somebody from Indiana calls me and says, I live in Indiana, you're a winery in Florida, sit me in a case of wine. Is the state going to find out that they did that?
I mean, you're exactly right. And this is one example of course, several, but where it really is puts impediments in place for wineries to be able to ship to consumers and impediments that really have no regulatory purpose to them. And so that's why you hear me bringing these up, because they're the focus of a lot of work that goes on in order to fix them. So I'm sure that there's a story behind each and every one of those that could probably fill a book. But being a pragmatic person, we're here trying to get this stuff fixed so that consumers can get the wine that they want and buy it in the way that they want to buy it.
I'm looking at the map again, and I'm seeing that some of these states are Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Utah, and South Dakota, and Kentucky. These laws, and we've talked to wineries from some of these states here, these laws have been in effect like forever. The one in Arkansas, I mean, you can't ship across the street, but you can ship across the state line, they were telling me, and stuff like that. Are these laws ever addressed by the state legislatures, or are they just ignored and just are they ever brought up? Does someone say, hey, this law is ridiculous, why don't we introduce something to stop it? Or do they just let it go?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure if there's a single answer to that question. From my perspective and from Free the Grapes, it's they get considered if someone is challenging them, particularly consumers are writing their legislators and asking them why a law exists in a certain way. And actually, you mentioned a good example of, or gave me a good example of this, which is actually in South Dakota, there was a local coalition of consumers that got together and they talked to their legislators, and the legislators put together a bill, Senate Bill 100, and it's been tabled for right now, but it appears that is going to then come back into play later that would replace the ban there with a bill that is similar to those working in the other states. And so there's an example of consumers saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't work for any of us. Why don't we get this fixed, just like we have in other states? And the legislators are responding to their voters.
So basically the wine drinkers and wine lovers in all these states with some of these silly laws, and let's face it, they are silly, really need to just start contacting the congressmen and the representatives and saying, hey, let's do something about this.
Yeah, and that's been the case, and that's been a thread that's been woven through this whole issue over the last, several decades or so. And it's the reason why we're at, 39 states and D.C. right now.
Right.
And then we're starting to work on some of these other states. And, there is I don't have the details on it, but I believe that there was a bill that was going to be introduced in Utah as well to allow for winery direct shipping there. And so you see that there's focus on not just the largest states like Massachusetts or New Jersey or Pennsylvania, but also some states that are, you know, that are not as large, you know, certainly for wine shipment or wine potential shipment as some of these other states. But, you know, we want to get those too. So, you know, I want to work myself out of a job here.
And that would be a good thing.
Yes.
Another question now, and you know, opinion on this, I'm sure you don't have any stats, but the current financial crisis and the current wrangling in Washington, D.C., do you think this is affecting the states and pulling the attention away from the wine and shipping and all that and putting more emphasis on financial problems in the country and in the states?
Well, I think that it actually provides a good reason for a state that doesn't allow for legal regulated shipment to then put something into place that allows them to actually collect taxes on shipments of wine into that state. So I would argue that if anything, the financial crisis provides more incentives for states to put in place a proven solution that's already working elsewhere. And we've seen that argument used by some of the industry lobbyists successfully in some states where they've, you know, projected revenues that are based on the license fees that a winery will pay in order to direct ship to a state in terms of the excise taxes that the state collects and in terms of the sales taxes that in some states they are collecting on wine direct shipment too. So it isn't necessarily a very large number. It not compared to total state budgets, but it is revenue positive, and that's a very powerful argument right now.
And that's a good point. I've always said that I'd love to be able to spend just 2 minutes before every state legislature and say, gentlemen and ladies, wineries are a multi-million-dollar business in this country, and you can either get a piece of the pie or you can legislate yourself out of it.
Yeah,
and
it's,
you know,
the other point is that there was an interesting study that came out that was done by the Maryland Comptroller's Office in late December. And one of the questions that they researched over the previous year was whether or not wine direct shipping, which was made newly legal in Maryland in 2011, had reduced or, you know, cannibalized wholesale to retail sales at all in that particular state. In other words, once the law passed, once direct shipping started, did it reduce any sales? Did it reduce sales between wholesalers and retailers? And the answer was no. Actually, wholesale to retail shipments went up by something like, I think, a bit less than 4% over that time period. So the point is that direct shipping to consumers, winery to consumer shipment, is entirely compatible with shipments that are going through the traditional three-tier system.
And the same state comptroller report, and we talked to a winery there, a gentleman that was involved with some of this stuff, and he said one of the things in that comptroller report also proved that shipping directly to states and homes are not for minors. They said there's absolutely no effect that it shows that minors are ordering wine. And you always hear states say, well, if you start shipping directly, then kids will start ordering wine. Kids don't order wine. They go down to the local 7-Eleven and ask somebody to pick them up a six-pack, and that's about it. But that comptroller report out of Maryland brought up that point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it made that point very clearly, and it underlined essentially a point that was made by the Federal Trade Commission that did a similar study over several different states, actually, back in 2003, that said precisely the same thing. So, yeah, that's an old red herring that hasn't come up too much anymore, because it's been just shown to be inaccurate and untrue. So there hasn't been any state that has rescinded their direct shipping laws based on winery noncompliance, including underage access. So In other words, we've never had a state go backwards based on any kind of issues or problems that they had. So, and I think that's a good, that's one of the reasons, and is one of the success points of wine direct shipping in the United States, that the wineries are complying, they are doing taxes, they are submitting reports, they're doing the things that they need to do in order to comply with state law. And in order to do that, it's the laws are very, very complicated in many respects because there are different laws for each of those 39 legal states, but they're also getting better at and have more tools to comply with those state regs.
Yeah. we're talking about shipping here, and I just want a question if you know the answer. The shipping companies, FedEx and, well, FedEx and UPS basically are the two. Are they in any way involved in stopping or controlling or monitoring the shipping between states or anything?
Well, they are, in some states, they are required to report shipments to the state. So they're required to report how much wine is coming in and what type and that sort of thing. I don't name them off the top of my head. But, yeah, in some states they are.
Wow.
And for companies like that that, you know, have obviously a large vested interest in complying with the law and so forth, that they are they've been supporters and have helped us. Particularly FedEx has really gone out of its way, I think, to help the wine industry to open up these markets by, you know, working in a pretty cooperative way with the wine industry to help to open these markets and really make it work for everybody, which has been great.
Well, that's good. I FedEx and UPS are the big ones in the country, obviously,
yeah.
And they're the ones. I didn't realize that some states require them to monitor it. That's a lot of extra work for them. You can
sure.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You know. Wow, that's fascinating. I didn't realize that. When I talked to you yesterday, you mentioned that some of the other stuff that was coming up, some of the things that were coming up that are good down the pike here, if you will. Any other states that are looking at improving their laws? You mentioned Utah and Montana and South Dakota, but how about some of the others here that are stuck?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we mentioned North Dakota. There's a piece of what we would call this fix-it legislation in play. It's probably not very interesting to consumers. It really has more to do with how wine actually gets shipped either from the winery, you know, through FedEx or UPS, or if it goes actually through what we call fulfillment house. There's some states that have some little tweaks like that. That again, I'm not sure how interesting they are necessarily to wine consumers.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So there are states that are, you know, looking at that stuff. That are looking at, for example, wines that are shipped by maybe a winery but through a third party marketer. Or
a lot of
called,
states do that. A lot
yeah,
of
aggregators.
States
do that. Yeah. So there's you know, part of the success of then opening up some of these states has also meant, you know, some scrutiny by regulators in terms of shippers and carriers as well. And so, like I mentioned, the fulfillment houses. So there's more scrutiny around the role of the fulfillment houses in terms of how they're shipping, third-party providers, scrutiny around retailer direct shipments. And so those are some, you know, some of this really gets a bit arcane and complex pretty quickly. But I think the bigger picture is that in many respects, you know, it's not just winery to consumer shipment, but it is shipment from retailers. It is shipment of orders, you know, that are collected, for example, at the new Amazon program and then shipped by the winery to consumers. And so there are some complexities in the whole system of how this plays out that are being worked out with the regulators as well. And so that's part of, in addition to the states that I already mentioned about where there's laws to open up those states, there's a fair amount of activity in terms of just fixing stuff.
There has to be. You mentioned that Amazon. I two or three weeks ago, I hit on that on the program, talking about Amazon, their shipping and all that, what's happening with that. And that's interesting there. Now, Amazon is going to be shipping around the country. Is that going to fall under any type of different laws, or is that going to be each state law is going to jump in there and to start regulating Amazon? And what's going to happen with that?
Well, I'm not sure if I could predict what's going to happen. I can tell you what I hope is going to happen, which is, and frankly, I trust is going to happen, which is that the states, you know, will work with the representatives of Amazon and other companies in the industry in order to, you know, streamline those sorts of shipments. It gets pretty complicated pretty quickly, but in some cases, for example, there are third-party marketers that are essentially collecting an order and then passing the order on to the winery, and then the winery is shipping under their own license to the consumer.
Uh-huh.
And so those are things that the state regulators look at, and so if I were to predict anything, I would predict that those will get worked out. It may take a little bit of time, but those will get worked out too. And I think it's, you know, it's obviously for the betterment, I think, of consumers when they have just more options, more channels, and more convenience, frankly, just to buy the wines that they want to get. And, you know, there are now 8,000 wineries in the U.S. There's at least one winery in every state. There are wine, you know, you can visit wine country in, you know, Michigan and Texas and Florida, as well as California and New York. And so tourism is what's really driven this issue, not necessarily the internet, but it's really tourism and consumer demand that's really driven this issue. And so I think that this stuff is going to get worked out. It may take a little time, but it'll get worked out.
Well, good. I'm always telling people, freethegrapes.org, you need to go there and all that. Mike, do you have any questions for Jeremy here?
Well, actually, I was looking at the Montana Department of Revenue site, the connoisseur's license application.
And, good for you.
Just had to look it up. And, it's Con App Revision that it says on here is 3-05. But Con, I don't know if that's for connoisseur or for con artist, whatever. but it says you can have a beer, wine, or a beer, wine combo. And it gives the rate. It's like $50 for beer or wine, or you save with the combo, it's $100. Then you have to provide a proof of age. This is ridiculous. A birth certificate, driver's license, state issued ID, and then you have to. There's two check boxes: yes or no. Do you agree to furnish semi-annual reports to the Department of Revenue showing the quantity of product and pay applicable taxes due? So on top of the license fee, now you have to pay taxes on this additional, I guess. And then do you agree that you will faithfully comply with all the laws of the state of Montana? I mean, it goes on. and then this other stuff, I declare under penalty of false swearing that the, you know, and then signature, and then you send that in. And I'm just looking at it going, okay, they need to take that off. So I found that kind of interesting, but because we were talking about it. But I just wanted to, as you were talking, I was, what – how did you get into this? What were you in the wine business? Are you currently in the wine business? Is this something that you know you saw that there was a need for? Obviously, there's a need for it. But how did you get started in Free the Grapes and this movement to get where it is today?
Good question.
Well, I've been in the wine industry for 20 plus years on the marketing side, and I run a wine marketing agency, and so it's a but Free the Grapes has been a bit of a passion certainly of mine, and so we've worked with a lot of wineries on direct marketing and direct to consumer marketing particularly, and so it is so it's both a vocation and an avocation, I think it's safe to say, and have been in the position with Free the Grapes since the group was founded, really by the industry back in early 1998, and the idea was to have a consumer outreach arm that was coordinated also with other groups that managed lobbying, separate groups from ours that managed lobbying, and separate groups from that even that have been behind, for example, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Granholm v. Heald. And so the role that Free the Grace has played is one of the three legs of this direct shipping stool, so to speak, consumer outreach, legislation, and litigation. That's worked very successfully together over the last, 15 years or so. So it's been, candidly, it's been an honor to represent the industry, and it's an issue that's near and dear to my heart, and quite frankly, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Good question. That's a good answer.
Yeah,
I was just
wondering, how you got into it, and very cool. That was it. That's all I got. It's a great website. Anybody out there listening, as we do at the during the show, and we've given it out several times during our shows and since then, but since the beginning. But visit the website, and you'll get all kinds of information. And each individual state, it's laid out there, and it's a great resource for you. So definitely check out the website. So. And we'll give that information.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. That was a good question. Jeremy, anything else you want to throw out there before we let you loose tonight?
No, I know all of, everyone is very interested now in getting a Montana, connoisseur's permit, but you're going to have to hurry because it probably won't be available. It may be a collector's item here in a few months.
Yeah, the law may change.
Yes.
I am
thank you both for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And one more time, give us the website and how people can get in touch and sign up for the emails and Facebook and all that.
Yeah, it's freethegrapes.org. And there's a sign up for the email list that's just on the left-hand side. There are, on the bottom left-hand corner of the homepage, there is a list of states that are active right now. And you can click on those that will take you to a page where you can personalize our sample letter and send it automatically through the website to your state legislator. And that's the best thing that consumers can do right now is to write letters to their representatives in those states that have active legislation.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm
really
on that
good.
Site now. These are great letters. It's easy to do. FreeTheGrapes.org. Go on there and get involved. If you're in the States here, obviously you like wine because you're listening to this program, and we're all about wine. So take an active part. Get on FreeTheGrapes.org and start getting in contact with your congressmen, your representatives, and get some stuff done in your state. If you don't like the laws, change them.
Right. Very good.
Another year and a half from now, we can get you back on the program again and tell us what's going on.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And Ron, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on. Thank you.
Bye.
My audio was cutting out for some reason. Oh, okay, that was it. My audio was cutting out for some reason.
Mine too.
I thought he was talking and then not talking or something. I don't know. It was cutting out.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Because I just, it popped up on my screen here. No microphone detected. And so.
Oh,
I,
that's not good.
No. No. That's what I'm asking.
Wow.
Can you hear me here? That's odd. Yeah. I don't know. We're having a little bit of audio problems tonight for some reason. I lost Jeremy. He was talking about Massachusetts, and he disappeared. That's why I said.
And I heard him. And I heard him talking, and then I heard you saying hello or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It just the sound stopped, little audio problems there tonight for some reason. FreeTheGrapes.org, great site, great information, great stuff on there. Jeremy's passionate about it, and as he well should be. He does a great job on it, and so follow up on it and
sign up for the newsletter.
Sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the Facebook page, sign up, there's all sorts of stuff. You can do the, they can, hot state alerts, all sorts of stuff on that homepage. You can, and if you're a winery too, there's information there, for wineries and stuff. So, it is a great organization. We thank him again for being on with us tonight and another year and a half, we'll give him a call again and see if maybe we can add some more states to our 39 that are in the system now. That would be great. Yeah.
Yep.
So good program. I always enjoy having him on. He's very knowledgeable about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good question on your part too, how he got involved with that. That's been very good.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we covered that the first time, but I kept wondering. It's like, well, you know, what got him into this originally? And I don't think we did cover it.
That's a good question. That was he's been involved with the wine industry. That's a passion that you just jump into and it starts consuming you, and that's great.
Right. Yep. Well, kind of like starting a wine business.
Yeah. Only a lot
it
more
consumes
expensive.
You. Yes, I was going to say. And it consumes you, and it keeps consuming you.
And it keeps consuming you, yeah. Then it spits out. Ask any of the people we've talked to.
That's right.
Same thing.
That's right.
Well, good program tonight. Public service announcement for all of you in this country, except for those who are listening to us in Arizona. Daylight saving time starts Sunday morning, so set your alarms for 2 o'clock so you can get up and set your clock back an hour and then go back to bed.
And I think part of Indiana does, too.
Oh, you're right.
It does not.
Yeah, it does not. You're right. Part of Indiana. The state of Arizona and part of Indiana. Yeah, so. But set your alarms for 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. Get up, set your clock back, and go back to bed.
It's a good thing that the state of Indiana doesn't require them to actually visit the sun or whatever before they can change their clocks. They're actually allowed to change it without they don't have to get government approval before they can change their clock. It's just what happened.
You know,
so that was funny.
And we've talked to wineries around the country. That's, you know, and my question, you know, your state and federal legislators, you love them, hate them, want to kill them, want to hug them.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many of these laws, and we've had people go, oh, man. I mean, it just, you know, I don't know. We can be thankful for one thing. 1161 is dead. You know, and that's dead and hasn't been reintroduced, so we can be thankful for that. But there are so many crazy laws out there, and just, you know, if you want them changed, people, get out there. Contact your congressman. That's who changes these laws. That's who put them into effect to begin with. Let them change them. So, well, you know, good guest, though. I always enjoy talking to Jeremy on the program.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to talk about something. I was going to talk about kosher wines tonight for a little bit here. I think I might wait until next week and just do a program on kosher wine since it is that season. Since it is the Passover and we're approaching the end of this month is Easter, and the 31st and 24th is Palm Sunday, and the Passover begins on the 25th, the day after Palm Sunday. And so I think next week we're going to do a little program on kosher wines. And New York Jewish Week has a bunch of great articles, and I'm going to quote a bunch of those. I will talk about those. The articles that have in there, Passover advice, Israeli wines, Americans kosher wine scene, Israeli wines marketing it, top Israeli wines, top white wines, our top wines, $36 and over, top reds, under 25 and over 25, and top whites under 18 and over 18. Just kosher wine. We're going to talk about kosher wine. What required? We had a guest on. Mike was looking it up. And neither one of us can remember exactly what date it was. But we had a guest on that was talking about kosher wines that he said he was doing some kosher wines for a while. And we can't remember who the guest was, but he said something about how it works. Well, I'll check out and find out the guidelines for kosher wines and all that. So we're going to do an episode on kosher wines next week and Israeli wines. And since I guess most Israeli wines are kosher, I don't know. I'll find that out too. And we'll
get somebody on the program who's involved with that. I don't know.
I don't know. I just
maybe specific.
I'll, I'll start doing some searches to see if we can't find the Kosher winery.
Yeah.
And I have a rabbi friend. I'll have to call him and ask him about kosher wines if he knows anything. So maybe we can find out something there too. It's just, you know, I saw a link. Somebody's talking about kosher wines, and it just caught my interest because of the time of year, Easter and Passover and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Still trying to. I can't remember who it was, but we had somebody who was talking about it, and
yeah, and I can't remember either. And they told us some of the rules on it. I can't remember. If anybody out there remembers, email me. Let me know.
Yes. Right now, the mind is not working right now.
No, I can't remember who it was either. So if you are listening to archives, and one of the archives recently you listened to was that, then say, hey, Ron, it was this date. And so you can look back.
There you go. And you'll win a special prize. We'll thank you on the air.
Well,
so you will be the special fan of the week.
There you go. Fan of the week. That works for me.
There you go. There you go. Did you have any other last minute things? Otherwise,
No.
Okay. I didn't know if there was any additional things to mention.
There's always things I can mention, but no, not this week. Well, we'll talk what you were going to talk about there. There, I'll let you have it.
Oh, I was going to talk about something? Oh.
Yeah.
Let's be back in 1 minute, right after this, I think. Yeah, there we go.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. WineFest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at WineFest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at WineFest.
Yes.
You know, when I hear that, I keep saying this every week, I have to redo that one, but for some reason, that particular echo and that little reverberation in there, it almost sounds like I'm in a bathroom doing the audio of that. And I'm so if you're ever in a bathroom and in the stall next to you, you hear someone doing an announcement like that, that's probably me.
That's
but, I was like, why does it sound like that? I didn't realize it sounded like that.
It did. I never thought about that, but now every time I hear it, you're going to have to do a new one, because every time I hear it, I'm going to think of you in the bathroom. You know, so.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. But come out this Saturday, the 9th of March, which is called, there's no name for it, it's March the 9th. Wait a minute, this show's, did I get the time? Is it the Wine Fest? That says 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The newsletter says 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Is that?
No, I don't think so. We proofread the newsletter. Did we make a mistake?
Yeah. Let's see. Wine Fest.
Class is 1 to 4.
Okay. There's something. Let me see. It says Wine Fest. The text on there, look back at that again. But it is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. anyway. And you have entertainment by Duke. I don't think I've heard him before.
He's good. Duke's very good, yeah. He's worked with us. Very good entertainer. Very good.
Oh, okay. So come out and see him at the Wine Fest, providing entertainment out there underneath the gigantic oak trees, providing plenty of shade. This Saturday, it is going to be a very, very good day. High of around 77, mid-70s or so, maybe a little cooler. It's going to be great. So come on out. And you also have the Cannoli King.
Oh, that's good cannoli. Fresh cannolis. Oh, man.
Oh, man. I didn't know that one. Okay. and then all these things, I'm just okay. Let's see.
Don is going to be back with his wood crafts. He's going to be out there with puzzles, pictures, clocks, and other unique items, all made from wood. Jamie with Oregano Gold, the healthy coffee, is going to be there as well. Let's see, Scentsy, Louise with Scentsy is going to be there as well. And they make the original wickless warmers, so come out and check that out as well. Let's see, what else do you have? Raffle Rescue again. Okay, cool. Raffle Rescue is going to be there, so you definitely want to go in there. And if nothing else, offer a donation. They'd definitely appreciate that, I'm sure. Nice. And they're still doing the raffle for the drawing is going to be held on April the 27th, so you can also get tickets for the raffle prize and right there at the Wine Fest. So you want to do that. You're going to have jewelry out there. Ellen, who makes wine coolers, bottleneck glass holders for wine bottles, and all kinds of stuff made. Everything is made for, by them from beginning to end. So you definitely want to check that out. And let's see. For the first time, local Tampa Bay area accomplished illustrator designer with over 50 years experience in commercial design and graphics. So his name is Donald, is it Boniface?
Yes.
Did I get that right? Okay.
You got it right.
Wow. So you definitely want to come out there and check that out. And let's see. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing.
Yes, he does beautiful
pastel pencils and acrylic inks. Oh, that's cool.
Check it out. A portrait done of your pet. He does a beautiful job.
Yeah, definitely come out and check that out. That's new. So that's his first time at the Wine Fest. You definitely want to check that out. And a whole lot more. There's going to be all kinds of – what else do you have out there? Are you going to have the cat, of course, that you've been posting on Facebook is going to be there. What's the cat's name?
Wee Kitty.
Okay.
Wee Kitty.
Wee Kitty is going to be there.
Wee Kitty.
Signing autographs, I guess. So.
Signing autographs and purring for everyone. She will be there.
Okay. So that's Wine Fest. That is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday. That is March the 9th at Florida State's Winery. And on Sunday, do you have any openings for the wine class, just in case anyone...
Actually, we do. Yeah, we've got openings still on that class. So if anyone wants to sign up for it, it is available. Call us.
Very entertaining wine class. Ron Braun's presentation, and it runs from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Oh, there's another 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And it covers brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, wine tasting and rating wines, and of course there's a sampling of wines and a discussion. And you want to call?
Pass out. You got snacks and all sorts of stuff too.
Yeah. So. Great presentation and very informative, very entertaining, and it's great to see him in person when he does his presentation. So you definitely want to check that out. Wine class will be Sunday, March the 10th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. That is a three-hour class, and it's well worth it. So definitely enjoy wine, enjoy the class. You want to go to Florida State's Winery, open daily 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. That is located at 25241 State Road 52, which is right off of Interstate 75, about 4 miles from 75. You go to exit 285, exit 285 off of 75, and go 4 miles west, and you'll see the signs, really nice signs, by the way, for Florida State's Winery, and it's right there. Or call 813-996-2113, and that's the phone number. You get them, and they'll be more than happy to help you out and get there. So do that. If you visit the website at floridastateswines.com, that's the best place to subscribe to the newsletter. It comes out about every 2 weeks right before Wine Fest, and there's great recipes in there. There's great wine facts, all kinds of stuff. It's very informative on what's happening at the winery as well with the Wine Fest and the tip jar, and it's very cool. So you want to check that out. And subscribe to the newsletter when you're there. And, you'll, like I said, you'll get about one every 2 weeks. So really cool. What else do we have? Is there anything?
Our website, All About Wine BTR. If you need to get a hold of us there, you want to look at some archives or something, AllAboutWineBTR.com.
And,
And that'll give you show information, where our guests have been from, and all that kind of stuff. So, and our Facebook feed as well. So,
right, very right. Cool. Yeah. You can get our, you know, if you're into getting some tweets, Mike tweets all the time. So, he's on Twitter and keep you up to date and all that. So, there's, sorts of information on that.
I did quite a bit on Twitter while Jeremy was talking, so that was pretty good. What else do you have? Let's see, the tip jar last month, you collected over $200, a little over $200, pit bull and doggy rescue.
Yeah, pit bull happening,
which is great.
Doggy rescue.
Yep, and this
They're going to have an event there coming up in October. September.
September?
Yeah, I think September,
At the wine fest?
At the winery, they're going to have an event. They're going to have an auction. They're going to have, they're going to have vendors. All sorts of stuff. They've got quite a thing scheduled there. So
stay tuned for that.
Sign up for the e-letter and we'll keep you informed on that too. This month, the tip jar is for Grandma Girls Making Strides for Breast Cancer, and a group of ladies who are local ladies who are working on help finding a cure. And so they are doing a fundraiser there also, I think, in October. So we've got a couple of events coming up, and the tip jars last month and this month are for them when they come out. So
stop by and definitely offer something in the tip jar currency denominations, and they'd really appreciate that, and it goes to a great cause. So
always
stop by there. Yep. And the winery is family-friendly and pet-friendly, so everyone's welcome. Just come on out and enjoy your time at Florida State's Winery. Anytime 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., except major holidays, which I think you're down to, two major holidays now?
That's about it now.
It's like you're always there.
Pretty much, yeah.
One of the benefits of owning a winery or running a winery, right?
I'll tell you. Everybody we talk to, they'll tell you the same thing. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. It's a lifelong thing. So very cool. So we will have next week on March the 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S., we will have the next show, and we'll give you details, on the show page, as always. But the topic will be kosher wine, and any other updates to that, we'll let you know on the page and as we get it, and on Facebook. So,
and if you're out there and you listen to this program over this next week on Archives, or if you're listening live, and you are knowledgeable on kosher wines, email me, call me, get in touch with me. We'll get you on the program. We'd love to talk about it. So,
think I will. Maybe I'll put a thing on Twitter about that too. So before I walk out of here, looking for guests. So that'll be good. All right, I guess we will close the show for now, and we'll let you all go until next Thursday. So thank you all for tuning in again and for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you'd like to contact us, please do so. The email address, probably the easiest way, is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. We'll give it to you one more time at the little exit tune here in just a second. And
one more thing, too.
Yep.
Our guest tonight, Jeremy Vincent from FreeTheGrapes.org, thank you very much. People, FreeTheGrapes.org, great site. Click on it. Go sign up for it.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Definitely worthwhile. And great cause. So we'll see you all next time. Thanks again for tuning in, and y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday here on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75
take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.